Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today's Thursday, November 1st, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist, and I'll be your host tonight. And my co-host, Charlie Klein, will be joining us shortly. I want to go ahead and start off today because we're having a special guest tonight who's going to talk about the USA God and Country petition and ask you to sign it. I'm going to go ahead and start the show off with the American's Creed. And I've done this several times lately, but I think it's important. I think it talks about who we are as a people and what our responsibilities are as citizens of this country. So this is the American's Creed by William Tyler Page. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. Those are powerful words. This was written in 1917 and accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3, 19. This is what being an American is all about. We sacrificed, American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes for the freedom. We were established upon principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity. That's what we died for. That's what many veterans have fought and died for. That's what Americans have fought and died for. And that's why it is our duty. It is my duty. It is our duty as Americans to support the Constitution, to obey the laws, to respect our flag, and to defend our country against all enemies. And those enemies today are all over the place. We've got people who have managed to get into public office who don't believe in America and want to take America down. Those are enemies. Those are traitors. And their actions, I believe, are treasonous in many cases. And on that note, I'll talk a little bit about where I'm going with this. We have a special guest coming on tonight, John Smaldon. He has a petition out there. It's USA God and Country Petition. And if you're in the chat room, I have the website out there for you. He's going to be joining us at 7:30. He's got 14 demands. These demands all go into what's wrong with our country today and how we have to get back to God and country. How we have lost who we are because of rejecting God, seeking power, seeking money, greed, and, of course, political correctness. We're not allowed to be who we are. We're not allowed to be the principled people we're supposed to be. So his petition is quite long, and I've read it, and we're going to talk about it. We may have to actually do this on two shows. We'll see how far we get tonight. But it's very, very good information, and you really need to take a look at it. And like I say, I put it out there in the chat room, if I can get my chat room to come up now. Chat room's been acting up on me today, okay? Well, and I have it on the show page as well. So make sure you go out there and sign the petition. I signed it today. Make sure you read the petition, because there's a lot of information in there. 14 different demands, talking about health care, talking about immigration, talking about the budget, talking about term limits, multiple things that goes into. And we're going to get into as many of them as we can today. And this is what we need to do. People have to understand this is what it's going to take. We have to get back to the Constitution. We have to force these people to believe in the Constitution. So thinking about that, where are we today? You think about everything that has happened in Benghazi. And we've talked about it on the show a couple times recently, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it tonight, but more and more information keeps coming out that proves it's treason. Our president sacrificed American lives, the enemy. We have a Congress who said that's okay. There's a few of them that are challenging it, so I'm not going to, it's not every single person in Congress who isn't taking some action. There are those who are attempting to investigate it, but they're not being nearly strong enough, and every single one of them should be doing something. Unless they have some kind of proof that shows that this president was not aiding the enemy, then they should be outraged. If they have the proof, then they should share it. But everything the more we know about this, the more that keeps coming out, the more evident it is that this president is anti-American. I've believed that all along anyway, but it's just getting more and more. He believes in socialism. He believes in Agenda 21. He believes in the redistribution of wealth. Nobody should be rich. Nobody should be wealthy. If you want to work two jobs, you should make the same money as anybody else. You're not allowed to be motivated to earn something extra and get something else. You're not allowed to have your own business, build your own business, which sometimes means working 40, 60, 80 hours, maybe more to do that. No, he wants us all to be a bunch of serfs where the government hands out and doles out how much you're allowed to have, when you're allowed to travel, et cetera, et cetera, because he's a socialist. But his actions in Libya, to me, blatantly treasonous. Everything, the more you see, it's treason action. We have a treasonous Congress if they don't take action against them. And again, that's why what we're going to talk about tonight, what we're about, back to who we are, why it's going to be so important to sign this petition and get something going here. The other thing is Hurricane Sandy is out there, remnants, I should say, the aftermath of it. And I think it's been really interesting to see what has happened to the subway system. People are so dependent on public transportation that when it's not there, they are severely paralyzed. It's a major, major impact to that city. And I think that's something to kind of think about. I happen to like personal transportation, and I take advantage of it every chance I get. And then I'll mention one real just quick reminder, those Florida amendments, constitutional amendments, just name of the Constitution and do their job the way they're supposed to. So vote no. Summarizes my opinion on that stuff. And on that note, let's go ahead and get Mr. Klein, Charlie, involved here and see what he's doing today. Hey, Charlie, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just fine. And Brett Baer came up with a very interesting thing from when Griffin said something about there's supposed to be some kind of a joint group whenever there is a terrorist attack, that they're supposed to be, how would you say, mobilized, brought together to go ahead and take action on it, and it was not called upon. It was totally ignored, and this is a responsibility of the White House to make sure that it gets done. And it involves, like, the CIA and I think the Joint Chiefs and different groups like this, to where they're actually supposed to, when there is a terrorist attack, it's an anti-terrorist group that's supposed to go in there and make sure that they squelch the thing or do whatever, they take the appropriate action. And it was not called upon by the White House. So that's a dereliction of duty by the White House. But as you were saying, and as it's coming out more and more, this looks to be a case of aiding and abetting the enemy. And if we go down past the last 4 years since President Obama has been President of the United States, it seems to me like he has been aiding and abetting the radical Muslims who attacked America. He's been forgiving them and aiding them in some way, shape, or form. And he's been promoting racism. He's been promoting prejudice and reinstating prejudice to divide the country again. And his action is proven by him and Eric Holder failing to prosecute the Black Panthers is one, and then failing to actually protect our embassy. The people of the United States of America, he has allowed, how would you say, an invasion of our property during his watch. President Bush didn't allow it. It happened. But the actions or the lack of actions on the part of President Obama and his staff indicate that he is aiding and abetting the enemy against we the people. What's next? How many violations of our rights have been perpetrated on the people by foreigners? You got Fort Hood, correct? The embassy? And how many others where he has failed to take any decisive actions? He has gone campaigning while Americans were getting killed, but now he's out there acting very presidential in something that the states could take care of themselves if the money that the states were sending to Washington was kept by the states for such purposes, because then the states could be giving money to each other on an emergency basis. I'll tell you, it's getting to the point where impeachment is necessary, and if Congress does not do their job, then we impeach Congress. We don't have to remove them at the ballot box. We can remove them by law. And it says so in the Constitution. There it says definitely, and here's a perfect example, the one that I love to come out. Federal judges, Supreme Court primarily, will hold their positions for life during good behavior. Well, good behavior ends when you allow the Constitution to be violated by any judge, any court in the United States of America. Or you violate the Constitution yourself, such as kicking prayer out of school should be grounds for removing from office the five Supreme Court justices who voted for it. It should not be a 5-4 vote in the Supreme Court. It should be a 6-3 vote. And it must be constitutional, not ideological. This Benghazi situation is 1,000 times worse than Watergate or Clinton desk or the no, I did not have sex with that woman. This is 1,000 times worse than both of those put together. But yet, President Nixon, for the love of this country, resigned because the press made a mountain out of a molehill because the president failed to acknowledge that he knew about the break-in to steal the Democrats, how would you say, election plans, because there wasn't any money to be stolen from that place. And now what do you have? You have the cover-up of four people who were murdered by this administration for their failure to take decisive action against the Al-Qaeda friends of the president, because that is apparently the way it looks like. That's the way I believe it is. And therefore, I would like the president of the United States to explain to us on television why he failed to take decisive action and went to Las Vegas instead to campaign, when four United States citizens serving the people were killed. Mr. President, I know you're not listening, but maybe one of your, fellow Muslims is listening, they can get the word to you. Sally, I really predict that if things are not straightened out pretty good, there could be something worse in this country if another attack happens on we the people. I'm sure that if we had the right president in that seat, there would be something worse happening to the people here now, and it would all be in a very nice paper way. It would not be a violent way. But it's time to make America safe again by putting somebody in office who will uphold the Constitution and make sure that our military is strong. I will sign any petition that brings about honesty and integrity, and I believe that is the route that we the people must take, is the petition route, as afforded to us in the First Amendment of the Bill of Rights, the right to petition our government for grievances. Well, Congress has committed the major grievance of failing to take action against the President of the United States regarding Benghazi. Therefore, Congress now is subject to, an act to remove them from office. If they do not bring this to fruition in a very, very short time, like let's say Monday, it should be settled. But Congress is not going to do it. So it looks like we the people are going to have to mount some kind of a petition and sign them and then go to the courts and demand an expeditious thing, or unfortunately, we'll have to add the court to the petition. There's a way to do it. Our founding fathers developed the Constitution of the United States for our protection. The Corporation of the United States of America was founded by members of Congress and their special interest friends. And that is to run it as a business. The business end of the United States of America is not designed to take over the Constitution of the United States that's there to protect we the people. So, whatever we do, we have to make sure that the business practices of the United States no longer interferes with the Constitution of the United States of America. And we need to go after all of those who are upholding the corporate Constitution that is illegal, unconstitutional, but is being held over the Constitution of the United States that our founding fathers developed for our protection. This is what the people have to be, wake up, smell the roses. Why is it that Congress is making rules for their benefit, but not for the benefit of the people? Nothing in the Constitution gives Congress the right to have a retirement plan, or to have only work 108 days a year. Congress.
Let me interrupt real quickly, because I think I'm not sure if you're logged on right now, but if you are, you're going to love what the God and Country petition has in it, because it gets into that very stuff.
Let's go to it then.
Everything. John Smalls, he's going to be joining us here at the bottom of the hour. You're going to absolutely love the stuff he's got in there, because he touches on that very, very subject. Anyway,
I'm going to interrupt. John Ross?
No, Smalden.
John Smalden, okay.
Yeah, S-M-A-L-D-O-N-E, Smalden. Okay. He's with the USA God and Country Petition. He's got 14 demands on that thing, and they touch on several of the issues you have already mentioned. Yes, it's going to be really good. But anyway,
Good. Well, then finally we got something going where the people can sign the petition, get it out, and we can march on Washington with it.
Exactly. And that
April 15th would be a perfect date to do it.
Well, I don't think I think depending on what we see happen in the next week or two here, I think it's going to depend on how soon we march on Washington. But I wanted to comment. You were mentioning about Nixon and how the media went after Nixon for what he did.
Right.
I happen to believe that the media should have gone after him because what he did was illegal and unethical.
Right, yeah.
The President of the United States shouldn't be trying to steal the election routine.
Well,
so
yeah, I'm not saying letting him get away with it, but all I'm pointing out is the fact that Nixon lied about knowing what was going on, and they got rid of him. Well, exactly. We have a president who's lying about Benghazi, and we can't let him get away with it. But they seem to be ignoring it.
Yeah, the media has become a right arm to the. To the government, to the political process. The media no longer is the watchdog for the people and that kind of stuff. So totally agree with you. I wasn't, the media should have gone after him. While it may not, it definitely doesn't rise to the level of what's happened here with treason in that sense. But what he did was very unethical and illegal. And the other part that I think is going to come true, if Obama ends up being there after the election, come January when they get ready to swear in the new president or whatever, and maybe before January, there has to be a massive march on D.C. And for every single that's for all three houses, the White House, the Senate, the House of Representatives, any of them that refuse to do their job and honor that Constitution need to be escorted out of town. And we're not talking bloodshed or anything like that, but you know what? We know how many people were there for 9/12. We know how many were there for
Glenn Beck.
8/28. Yeah, both
Martin Luther King Day, yep.
Yep, yeah, so we know how many people are motivated to do something. We need twice that many to surround Washington, D.C. and say, you people aren't going anywhere until you do your job. They're resigning, and we're going to put somebody else in there. You're not going to be allowed anymore. So that's what it's going to take.
That could become the day that the Democrat and Republican parties no longer exist. Because that's what may have to occur. If Congress is not going to do the work of the people for the people, as a Democrat or member of the Democrat-Republican Party, then they're going to have to disavow their allegiance to the Democrat and Republican Party and take an oath that is binding, because apparently they are ignoring the Constitution of the United States, which is an act of treason themselves. But, you know, there are prisons in Washington, D.C. We can march Congress over there and let them sit in a cell for a while we decide what we're going to do. And we won't be shedding any blood.
It has nothing to do with shedding blood. It has to do with dethroning these people who think they are above the law and who forget that they work for us and treasonous actions that they take against us. It's totally, totally unacceptable in every which way. So
there'll be 535 people plus going to the poorhouse. Because that's what we'll have to do. We'll have to just go ahead and wipe out all of their wealth. And even if they give it to their children, their friends, their relatives, or businesses, we get rid of all of it.
Exactly.
That means everybody that made any money, because that's what they're in violation of a breach of fiduciary duty. They lose everything, as far as I'm concerned. And we just have to hold to that.
Yeah.
But let's see what happens, because if we start taking action, I think that they're going to see the light and change their ways and make restitution for whatever wrongs they've done to us.
I sure hope so, but I tell you, the evildoers, there's so many of them in there, they think they're invincible, they think that we can't do anything about it.
Right.
And, you know, it's, I don't know. I just
and a lot of them, unfortunately, are special interests.
Well, they're bought and paid for. Yes, exactly.
That's right. That's right.
And you think Obama, who's he been bought and paid for? By the Muslim Islamic community and by the One World Order people and all that kind of craziness.
George Soros, yep.
George Soros, yep, exactly. Exactly. So, okay,
Good. Go
ahead. I was going to say, I see John out there waiting, so you got one quick comment, and then we will go to John, and we will get into his petition, because I'm telling you, Charlie, you're going to love
it. Bring him on, and I'm going to put my thing on speakerphone so I can just listen here, and then I'll chime in when I get a chance. Okay?
Okay. Let's go to John. Hello, John. Can you hear me?
Sally.
Yes.
Good evening.
Welcome, John.
I can hear you fine. Is it okay to call you Charlie or Charlie?
Oh, yeah, definitely Charlie, yep.
I'd like to say before you get started, Sally, that I've been listening since 7 o'clock, and a lot of good points were brought up. And, Charlie, I really liked your presentation. It hit it right on the head. Hit the nail right on the head.
Well, you know we're on your side then.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Right.
I just get very concerned about the American people themselves, you know, and hope we haven't gone just too far in this country. But I'll close it down for a second and turn it back over to you, Sally.
Okay.
Well, John, let me tell you,
excuse
me, Sally. Americans are known for their resilience, and that's been coming out an awful lot with this Hurricane Sandy, and we are that way. We will bounce back. And we will bounce back with a vengeance.
God bless him. You're right. We have been coming out with vengeance on this, on the hurricane and on Sandy, and it's great to see the American people come together the way they are. I would like to know what percentage has come together. You know, and I think I said, and I don't mean to take up your time on this, but I think Sally and I were talking about this, and you know, we're gradually becoming a country of immigrants and starting to become a country of foreigners, illegal foreigners. And this is changing the whole face and the whole image of our country. I mean, we aren't what we used to be 30 and 40 years ago.
No.
You know, and,
before we used to follow the law.
Exactly. And we had principles. We had values.
Right.
And today, we don't know who's legally voting, who isn't legally voting. We don't know who's against us. We don't know who's for us. And that's sad. But anyway, again, I'll turn it back over to you, Sally.
Okay. And, Charlie, again, you're more than welcome to hang on there. You want to listen because I just know you're going to really – if you're going to be out there signing that petition before this show is over.
Oh, boy.
So much
I definitely will sign. You know I'll sign the petition, Sally. I'm for petitions anyway.
Just sign it. Don't even look at it. Just sign it.
I will. It will be signed, John. I'm going to put myself on speakerphone, so I'm waiting for to hear everything about it, John. Okay? God bless.
You got it. Appreciate you.
Okay. Well, and also just for the other callers out there, I do see some people wanting to speak, and I will get to you, but we're going to get this thing started. American Statesman Blog Talk Radio is all about grassroots, and this is why it's somewhat of an open non-formal process here. This is grassroots. There's no commercialization here. It's just us out there bringing Americans together to do the right thing for this country, and that is exactly why we have John Smalden on the show today. He has a petition. It's called USA God and Country Petition. It's got 14 different demands, and John, you may have heard me say earlier that it's a lot of information out there. We're just going to start at the top of the demands and go through it, share as much as we possibly can. We may have to carry this on to another show because there's a lot out there, but I think we can cover enough to whet the appetites of those and get them motivated to go online and sign the petition. This
great
the stuff is just it's so true of what's there. But
what I was going to do, and if it's okay with you, it was when I get started, mm-hmm. I was going to kind of give an outline to the entire petition, but because getting into each individual demand and going through each individual demand would take an awful long time, obviously. But if I guided everyone through the process and if they can go to that website, they'll be able to understand how to read it, how to go through it, and they'll have an idea at least before they go into it.
Okay, and I did, in the chat room, I did post the website, and I also put your email address, john@usa-godandcountry-petition.com. So,
thank you.
For those of you who are in the chat room, you can see it. For those who are not, it's www.usa-godandcountry-petition.com. So go there. And, yeah, we definitely want you to, well, first off, I want you to kind of give us a little bit of background on you. I know you, you're a person who's been in the financial industry for many years, analyst, a broker, and those types of things. You can tell us a little bit about yourself, but then tell us what motivated you to do this petition. Then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of it.
Okay. Well, everybody knows my name, I think. You did a great job on that, Sally. But my background is finance. I've been in the financial industry for 44 years, primarily the mortgage banking industry, as well as the securities industry. I have owned 3 mortgage banking firms. I've been in the securities industry, traded with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, kind of been through most of the financial and mortgage banking, we'll say component parts of the industry. And I'm still doing that. I'm focusing probably more on the senior sector with reverse mortgages. I have my own company, which is a consulting firm. And that's a little bit of my background. And like I say, I've been in the financial industry for 44 years, and I'm 48 years old, still young. How's that, Sally? But let me get into what motivated me to start this petition. The petition itself is actually now going on about 2.5 years. And what motivated me, and I'm going to be very open, very candid, about close to 4 years ago, I was in an automobile accident. And in that automobile accident, by the way, nobody was hurt, fortunately, other than me and about 10 mailboxes. But I had a sharp pain under my rib cage and went off the road. And during the accident, I broke 5 ribs. Went to the hospital, went through all of the, you know, the normal tests and so forth and so on. I was put in the hospital overnight. And my doctor, my family doctor, family physician, on the x-rays, he found a small spot on my lung. He felt it was a blood bruise, you know, due to the accident. And he is a very cautious doctor. Sent me to an oncologist surgeon. A surgeon kind of concurred with my doctor that they thought it was a blood bruise. But to try and make a long story short, they monitored it for about 6 months through CAT scans every 2 months. And on the last and the third CAT scan, it doubled in size, that spot. So it was not a blood bruise. They didn't even bother going in and get a biopsy. They just went in. They removed it laparoscopically. And they had a pathologist at the table and tested it, and it turned out to be malignant. So I had lung cancer. So they operated, and they removed the lower part of my lung, lobe of my lung. Make a long story short, there was only one way that I came out of that, and that was because God wanted me to. And I really felt that he had purpose for me. Because only about probably 12% of the people that contract lung cancer survive, because they catch it in time. And obviously, we caught mine in time. I didn't have any chemotherapy. I decided not to. And today, and knock on my head, I'm cancer-free. But a lot of things started happening differently in my life after that. One of the things is I got very much involved into saving a particular senior citizen's home from foreclosure. I won't mention the lender's name that had to lean on the house, but this was a 75-year-old woman that had a bone degenerate disease and lived alone. She had one son, but the son was disabled, and she was going to lose her house. So I got involved into it and fought for about 6 months with the lender to try and save her home through a reverse mortgage. I got a U.S. congressman involved in it as well, and also got the Associated Press involved. make a long story short, we saved her home. And she is living there happily, and I hear from her at least once a week. And I love her to death, and she's doing great. But other things started happening, and one of the things in communicating with my political friends is that I felt the real need to get a petition going, but a different kind of a petition. I did not want the normal petitions that you see out there every single day. You see something pop up and donate this, donate that, sign this, put your signature to this. I wanted to start something different, very different, something that I felt that this country needed and needed desperately, and that was government reform. Our government has grown to the point where it's not a government of the people or for the people anymore. You know, it's a government for themselves, and it's a government that's out of control. It's like a freight train down the track without an engineer. And something has to be done, you know, with this country, something drastically. And I'm just hoping and praying that we have time to save her. Anyway, I started the petition, and it's called God and Country. I wonder why it's called God and Country. Obviously, God came first, and the reason being is I felt that a miracle was bestowed upon me, and God was my co-pilot in that accident. So that's kind of how God and Country and the petition got started. And there's a lot to this petition, an awful lot to this petition. It's a very, very in-depth, long petition. And I'd love to take credit for everything that's in there, but I can't. An awful lot of people gave me their advice and helped me out, a lot of political people, a lot of people that are probably out there listening right now, believe it or not, had a part in putting together and putting information that was in this petition together. I learned a long time ago that I'm smart enough to know that I'm not smart enough, but I surrounded myself with good people. And after quite a long length of time, the petition evolved. And by the way, this petition that's almost 2.5 years old has changed many times and has been brought current. What I'd like to do on this petition is, there again, as I said in the beginning, Sally, is to kind of give an overview of what to expect when they go into the website and the different legislative demands that make up the petition itself. I'll probably end my little introduction from there and then go to you, Sally.
Okay. Well,
any questions on what I said thus far?
Nope. And I agree that you can give us a high level. Definitely want to list all the 14 different demands, and then maybe we can dive into a few of them in a little bit more detail. Because
great.
People need to really get a sense of how specific this is.
Okay.
There's a couple of them that I wanted to definitely go over, and that's the one about the term limits. And
yeah,
then,
when I get to them, what you could maybe do is kind of ask questions as I get to them, if that's okay
yeah.
with you.
Oh, exactly. And we're going to have people out there in the chat room who may be asking some questions. We had a caller out there that I guess got frustrated because we didn't quite go to him fast enough, but we're going to cover some of this information, and then we'll start bringing in the callers to ask some questions and comments too. So,
very good.
Don't get impatient out there. We want to cover some of this first so you understand what we're talking about, and then we can bring in the questions. And the other thing, just as a, before we get into the specifics of it, let's go ahead and mention that you need 100,000 petitions signed, correct? And then you've got
okay.
a couple of congressional people standing ready to help us with this?
Yeah, let me explain that. I'm glad you brought that up. When we devised this petition and when I put it all together, I definitely wanted it to be different than any other petition out there. One thing that's very different about this petition, by the way, is that no donations are being asked. And I will not accept any donations. I have funded this all myself, and I'll continually fund it. But we will not take donations of money. We will take donations of volunteers helping and spreading the word. That's the only donation that I'll accept. The other thing that's different about this is the fact that this petition is very long. It's not one that you pick up, and it's a one-pager. It's going to take you a good hour to go through it thoroughly. at least a good hour to really go through it thoroughly. But a petition of this nature and of this importance has to be detailed. The one good thing about it is that it is in plain English, and I give solutions to our problems. But take the time to read it, read each item that I'm going to be going over. I'm going to lead you into it to explain how to basically go into the website and how to handle the website and how to navigate through it. But to answer Sally's question, yes, I've got U.S. Senator, U.S. Congressman, and one other U.S. Congressman that is willing to endorse and sponsor this in the form of a bill. Two things, or three things actually, have to really happen. One is that we have to reach 100,000 petitions filled out and verified. And when I say filled out and verified, it's not a signature. You have to fill out the petition, and then it goes through a verification process. When you fill out the petition, you have to go through the answering that question and putting those little numbers and letters in, and then you get an email back re-verifying your email address. And there's about three verification systems that you're going to be going through before it becomes an actual validated petition. We have a little over 50,000 right now, so we're a long ways from 100. I know that, but we're getting there. The more that people rally around it and spread the word, the more petitions are coming in. It has not been a quick process, probably because it's long, it's detailed. People have to take the time to read it. Sometimes I think it's easier to ask for donations, because it's easier sometimes for people to just take out a $25 bill and send it in. But that's our goal. We have to hit 100,000 petitions. If Obama is reelected, the Senate does not change hands, the petition will probably be a moot point. But I'm counting on that not happening. Okay, Sally?
Okay, and most of the people listening to this show also hope that does not happen. Obama shouldn't be there today. If we had an honest Congress, he wouldn't be there today. And then, of course, what we've been seeing happen recently with Benghazi and that stuff, he shouldn't be there. So that's definitely that piece of it.
No argument.
And the one thing before you start actually giving the summary to it, for those of you who are online right now, I would encourage you, if you're in the chat room, you can see the website. I would encourage you to go to the website and see what John's talking about as he walks through a little bit of how it's out there on. Whoops, let me take care of the phone that's ringing here, so that you can see what he's talking about, the way it's out there, so you can follow it, and you'll see how much information's there. And also, you may have some things you want to ask some questions about too once he gets going with it. So I'm going to kind of hand it over to you as to how you want to do a summary, if you want to just go down the list to mention what the 14 demands as a topic are, and then we can go into some of them specifically. And people who are listening, if there's one of the topics that you heard, one of the demands you want him to go into in more detail, you want John to talk about, either post it out there in the chat room or call in and let us know that you want to get into more detail. I just know that there was information about the term limits and corporations, the corruption of the elections, which ties in with what Charlie and I have done, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. There's the I want to talk about public-private partnerships, the role of corporations, which goes into that piece as well, the illegal immigration issue, the term limits issue. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here. I want to go
ahead. Hey, great. You don't need me.
No. So on that note, for those, again, if you're online, I would encourage you to go to the website and look at it as we're talking about it, and definitely put your questions out in the chat room. I'll be keeping an eye out there, and I'll ask the questions as they come up. And, of course, you're welcome to call in, 347-857-4364. Make sure you press the 1 if you want to speak on the air. If you don't press the 1, then I think you're listening and I don't bother you. I only go to if you press 1 and, you know, indicate that you want to speak on the air. So on that note, why don't you give us the overview, give us maybe, say, list the 14 demands, and then we can go into the details, whichever way works best for you.
Okay. I don't want to see now if I can do a job like Sally just did. But anyway, first thing is when you go into the website, you're obviously going to be on the home page. And there's a section there that will tell you to go to the 14 legislative demands. It'll give you the menu. And when you go to those 14 legislative demands, each one is listed. And what's nice about the way the website works is that you can just click on that legislative demand, and it'll take you to the complete outline. And when I say complete outline, there's many subsections to each one of the legislative demands, and it gets very much in depth and in detail. So when you see the menu, you can navigate any way you want to, whether you want to go to it in numerical order or switch back and forth each item. It's up to you. It's very friendly. And with that, I'll go into giving you a little overview as far as what to expect. And if there is questions, Sally, as I get to each one of the items, don't hesitate to just break in and ask me about them, because I'm not going to get into any depth unless I'm asked questions on it. The first thing that you would want to read is the introduction. And I say you want to read the introduction because this is really the foundation for the petition itself. It'll give you the history, it'll give you the whys, it'll give you philosophy behind the petition, and then it'll lead you into each one of the legislative demands. First couple of the legislative demands are not necessarily new to anybody. They're pretty self-explanatory. For instance, the first legislative demand, the petition is calling for our government leaders to abide by the Constitution the way it was written, unequivocally. And when you go in there, it'll give you a little bit of a blurb on the Constitution and what we were founded on. Not too much to go into detail over the phone right now about it. The next one, another one, defend the Second Amendment and an individual's right to bear arms. This, I think, is becoming more and more an issue in this country every single day. And there again, there's no real details behind that particular demand. The Second Amendment itself speaks for itself. Now, the third one is a little different story, and I think this is one that Sally is probably very interested in, as I'm sure everybody else is, and that's enacting term limits for a legislator of each branch of the government. And I get into various areas of that, and there again, like I say, unless there's questions, I'm not going to get into all of the details that are in that particular demand, but when you go into that particular demand, you'll see what it's calling for, how it works. I even get into a little bit of explanations as far as how our present legislators are paid and what they get each year that they serve, so forth and so on. You have any questions on that, Sally?
Well, on this
on the term limits.
On the term limits, just so people know that what you're proposing, what the petition says, is no more than 16 years, and that's changing. The senators would be able to serve no more than four-year terms,
right,
instead of the 6-year terms, and then at the congressional level would be 8 2-year terms. The only thing, and this should be, it's collective. You know, if they spend so many years in the House of Representatives and so many in the Senate, it's the total of 16 years. My own opinion on that one is I think 16 years is too high.
You are not alone. You are definitely not alone, and I'll explain my reasoning for it.
Okay.
After you get through asking your question, completing your question.
With me, I think 16 years is too high. And the other part of this, we need to think about these people as they come up through the ranks, because they'll spend so many years at the county or the city level, so many years at the state level, and somehow, I mean, it's and I don't know how we address these career politicians. America is not supposed to be about career politicians. It's supposed to be about citizen representation. But, and, you know, this piece, we're obviously addressing it at the federal level. But people just need to think about these people. They've already been entangled in the process. They've already got their special interest at the state level before they ever get here. That's why I think, personally, a big reason why I think we need to make it less in D.C. They've already been in the process probably 16 years at the state and local level.
Okay. Like I said to you a minute ago, you're not alone. I'd say most people that I talk to come back and say, gee, 16 years is too long. And maybe it is too long. However, I've talked to a lot of different legislators, and one of the things that I want to happen is I want this to be proposed in the form of a bill, and I want it to go through. And you've got to take the pulse of a lot of the legislators, what they're going to go for and what they're not going to go for. Unfortunately, this is a major political issue, term limits. 16 years, I've gotten very good vibes on it. I've got the acceptance of 16 years. I've got the acceptance of the way I have it worded. I'd rather have it go through with 16 years than not have it go through and try and push 12 years.
Okay.
Even though
I
may agree with you and I may want the same thing you want, I'd rather get something through now and then work on improving it.
True.
Because 16 years is not going to give any legislator a lifetime income that they're going to be able to live off of according to the way they're living now. Because what a lot of people may not be aware of is that the pension structure for a senator or a congressman is 1.7% per year of service, and they multiply it by the highest salary that they have had during their term. As an example, if a senator served 10 years, they would get 17% of their highest annual salary for the rest of their lives. So they're not going to get necessarily wealthy off of it. Hope that helps a little bit.
Hearing some sound effects in the background there. And that's the other piece of it. People need to understand that this also addresses the pension. These people, you know, they talk about entitlement programs. I myself, before you're going to touch Social Security, you better go touch your own entitlement program. They're not entitled to all these bennies that they get, not entitled to health insurance forever and ever. These people who have put themselves in office have come up with a King George syndrome, as I call it. They think that they're above the rest of us, and they're not. It's way out of line with what they get. And you mentioned something about, in here, well, you know, technically they're a government employee, which I don't know that they should be considered. Okay, I'm not. I don't know that they should be treated or considered as an employee since they're elected. I think that is also another distinction here, because it's not like you're going to work, in a clerical position. It's not like they can fire you any day because they don't like what you do. You know, it's a whole different thing. So I truly don't believe they should be considered the same as government employees. And they obviously don't think they should either. That's why they give themselves such nice benefits. So they need to be taken down a notch on, you know, they're just Americans. These people need to remember they are just Americans, which,
yes.
As we talk...
No, good point. Very.
And as we talk about... Go ahead.
No, please.
Okay, anyway, the only point I was making is this is part of the problem. When we talk about God and country, it's time, and you mentioned earlier how we're a country of illegal immigrants. When are we going to get back to being Americans? Because that's what part of this problem is, too,
Amen.
Being Americans. And that's what they are. They're not. They think they're these elitist whatever. No, you're not. You need to be. You're not above the law. That's why Charlie and I have done so much on different lawsuits and trying to motivate people to take it through the legal process to try to remind them that they're not above the law and that kind of stuff. But this is great. This is, again, and I don't know. I'm bouncing back and forth here. I don't know if Charlie wanted to comment on that one yet, but he hasn't chimed in, so we'll say he's okay out there. And
well, I think
right
one of the
now,
things that we've done, you know, as a people, is we we've created the environment we're living in. We have created this monster. Nobody else. We have. You got to remember that. And the only ones that are going to undo what's already been done is we the people. We have grown governments to such a size that our legislators, they're exactly what you said they are. They are above the law. They feel that they are above the law. They feel that they have grown into such a power play and such a powerful position that they can do anything. They can violate the Constitution. There is no law that can stop them. And that's what we have right now. We have that freight train that's out of control going down the tracks. Anyway, number four.
Yeah. Anyway,
controlling
John?
The... I'm sorry.
Nope.
Yes,
John.
Sir.
Yep. My thoughts on that subject of 16 years is way too many years. They are our servants. We put them in office because they promised to do the work for us. They are no longer doing the work for us, so my thoughts on 16 years should be one term Senate, three terms Congress, because that will make a nice rotation in there, and I want every one of them to work in their district 3 weeks out of the month and 1 week in Washington.
You'll never get it through, Charlie.
Not like they're doing now.
You'll never get it through.
Well, you know
what?
The whole thing is
sometimes we can't get.
Yeah, but John, the people have to be brought up to this, and we get enough people behind it.
You're not going to get enough people behind it right away. If you start out, at least, and the term limits is a very, very sensitive issue. And believe me, I've looked at this and looked at this and looked at this. I'm not agreeing with what you're saying, or I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. But here again, getting back to what I told and what I said to Sally, I'd rather get it through. I'd rather get something through that's going to be at least acceptable now and then work on improving it down the road. I don't want it to not be approved. I don't want it to be stricken because it's too restrictive.
I got you.
And, you know, that's probably, I've been really stubborn on that issue. Yet I haven't disagreed with the philosophy that people like you and Sally have because I probably share that same philosophy.
Yeah. Well, you just have to see what happens after you get a lot of people, because it may come down to the point where people will say, no, we want to do it this way because we now have 50 million or 100 million people that are agreeing with you, but they want shorter term limits.
Now, that's different.
See, that's what I'm saying. You never know what's going to happen
that's different.
Down the line.
However, right now, I'm looking at 5 days to the elections. I am hoping and praying that it goes with Obama packing his bags, the Senate changing hands, and Reid is packing the bags with the president, and that the Congress, we retain majority in or not Congress, the House, we retain majority in the House. Then I'm going to push like heck this petition, even more than
we'll
I have.
We'll be behind you. We'll be behind you. Let's go.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, let me go ahead and give you one comment from the chat room. We've got we nickname her Ms. Texas, but she's also known as Damn Mad Granny Taft. She's she's active in our discussions a lot. She had the note out there: if we don't like what they are doing, vote them out. And in theory, I love that idea. But we know the election process is so corrupt. That's why they're in there. And going back to what Charlie said, I understand what you're saying. 16 years, some of them will manage to get, you know, will accept that. If you go it down there less than what I would like to see it, they won't do it. So I'm going to say, well, 16 years is better than 30. Because right now they're out there forever.
Yeah, 16 years is at least not a lifetime career in Congress.
Exactly.
But I agree with Granny. You know, vote them out. Unfortunately, it hasn't seemed to work here past 20, 30 years.
No.
But anyway.
That's why Charlie and I have We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. We want the FBI to investigate the corruption of the two parties, how they corrupt the ballot box, how they work in collusion with the state and with the media to deny us the right of the representation that we want. And that includes the crazy filing fees they have in Florida of over $10,000 for the Senate and the Congress and things like that.
Right.
So the current process doesn't work. We have to do something.
Although one of the items I have on my 14 items will will accomplish everything that we want to have accomplished.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
and then when I get to that one, I'm going to really push that one, strong. Now, the fourth item is controlling the power given to our legislators. In here again, there's about five or six different subsections that go along with this.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going through here. You know, which goes back to the insider trading issue.
You know, it talks about no pay increases for any of our legislators or cost of living adjustments permitted, you know, unless we have a balanced budget. It gets into all of this kind of stuff. And there again, like I say, to go into each item would take an awful long time. And this is what I'm hoping that those out there that are listening are going to go in there and take a look at each one of them. And I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of questions also after they, you know, they read each legislative demand.
But again, these people, they have elevated themselves to this, the elitist king royalty, whatever you want to call it, King George. And this is part of it. Knock them back down to where they're supposed to be. Anybody who is caught with this insider trading stuff, they should be prosecuted by the law. To the
law.
And those kind of things. They're not there to get wealthy. And I think as you go into this, you probably have some of the research. I don't recall seeing it on the website. But, you know, when you look at Congress, these people who have been in Congress for, I'll say, more than 10 years or more, you go and you look at their wealth, what it was when they came in and what it is when they're leaving, not to mention the free pension they get. It's just amazing how wealthy they get when they go to Washington, D.C.
Take a look at Obama. That's a good example right there. But anyway, I want to get back to my outline, or I'm not going to get through it. I'm getting off of number four, and I'm going to go on number five. And when you go into the website, by the way, when you go into the menu, you're going to see flags next to certain legislative demands. And the ones that have the flag next to it are the ones that are critical, more critical and more important than even the others, even though every single one is important. But some of these with the flags next to it are extremely, extremely critical to this country's survival. The next one, number five, is, I know it's an item that is on everybody's minds, and that's identify and start deporting illegal aliens and reforming our illegal alien laws. And this is one that I get into some pretty good detail with. There's a lot to it. And yes, I do call for no amnesty, period. But I also call for things like imposing pretty stiff penalties on employers. Excuse my voice, too, tonight. But imposing stiff penalties on employers that employ illegal aliens. Definitely talk about deportation. Get into that very heavily. Like I say, I'm not going to get into each item there. I'm going to rely on you folks to get in there and read all about it. But if you have specific questions, I'll answer it. Any questions on the illegal alien portion?
Well, you're shutting down the illegal aliens and everything to do with how we haven't protected the border. The question I might have on this one, and there's a couple of different pieces here. One is, when these people that are in the commander-in-chief and the Congress, when they fail to secure the border, is that not a violation of their oath of office? What they have done here, allowing all these people in here, I mean, we've been invaded, the silent invasion, and we know, same thing you have out here talking about the terrorists that are allowed to come in, the Muslim faction that's coming in here who doesn't believe in Christianity and wants to change this country. All these types of things. What are we going to do about the people who were in charge who don't do this when they fail to do it? Because they're supposed to do it now. One of the most important jobs of the federal government.
If they violate the Constitution, they are performing a criminal act. Our problem in this country is that we don't enforce laws. We don't enforce our Constitution. We don't enforce what's on the books. That's like illegal alien problem. no matter what laws we have on the books or what we change or what we do to tighten up our controls, if it's not enforced, it's not any good. Let me give you an example, okay? One thing in here that I have for employers, because there is a major problem in this country with employers employing illegal aliens, you know, and they're getting away with it. You know, I've got in here that any employer caught employing illegal aliens will be fined $5,000 for each illegal alien employed. In addition to the fines, up to 2 months they could get imprisonment for each illegal alien employed. Now, that's a pretty darn stiff penalty. Think about it, $5,000 for each illegal alien and
exactly.
Up to 2 months imprisonment for each illegal alien. Pretty stiff, but you want to know something? It means absolutely nothing if it's not enforced.
Well, and that's the reason why we have the problem today. If the current laws were enforced today, we wouldn't have the problem. Now,
exactly.
And I think you went into the fact that even if they're born here from an illegal, that does not grant them citizenship. Because it's still illegal.
That's
just
right.
Because you were born. Yeah, so that's another piece that definitely has to be changed.
Now, if they're serving our country
in
the military, that's something entirely different.
Well, correct, yes. That's different, but not the anchor baby routine that
no.
we see happening
no.
all the time here.
No. I can't be kind. It's unfortunate for the children, but the parents have created an illegal environment.
Exactly. It's illegal, it's illegal, it's illegal.
That's right, any way you look at it. Now, here again, if they're there serving our country, and that is an exception to the rule. Has to be.
The other part now, I'm going to talk about immigration from the Theodore Roosevelt perspective. I happen to think Theodore Roosevelt had it right on the mark. And this goes into the factions and the stuff we kind of talked about earlier. If you're going to be an American, be an American. There can
That's
be
right.
no dual alliance. Stop calling yourself some other Spanish, Hispanic, whatever. You know,
that is right.
There's some place
and
else.
I get into that, by the way, here. I get into language and what a citizen must do and must not do. But I get into language area as well. There's one other thing that I want to point out on the illegal immigration situation. I've talked to a lot of people in reference to this, a lot of good senators and congressmen, and we have so much emphasis on that corridor, you know, Texas and you know, California and Arizona and all along the Mexican borders. And the emphasis is on Mexican, which shouldn't be. The emphasis should be on illegal aliens. Just because you're Mexican, it doesn't mean you're an illegal alien. There are so many more coming across our borders that are not Mexican. What about Canada? Canada is an open heaven and haven for illegal aliens. Just think of how many Muslims and how many terrorist cells are coming across, setting up camp. You may have them living next door to you.
Well, and
you may have them in the forest setting up a cell, but they're not being caught coming across Canada. I do get into that, into this legislative demand.
The other aspect of it is those who come in this country legally, they get some kind of visa or whatever, H-1B visa thing and all these other things, and they stay. That's another way they get in here. They walk in the door legally, but then they stay, and that is also illegal, and they don't want to talk about that. Let's see. Granny's got a few comments out here. She loves the topic we're talking on. Yeah!
Okay. Great.
That's the best I can do. Doreen, I hope that was close. And then the parents make that decision, and they're using the children to keep them here. Exactly. The parents are abusing the children, having the children here, thinking that's going to be an excuse for them to stay here. And that
Doreen,
kind of
you're
thing.
Right.
So,
great.
So anyway.
I agree.
And
that's
then,
what we were talking about. The next item, is it okay if I go on,
sure,
Sally?
We're ready.
Okay, the next item is reforming our court system. And here's another one that, you know, I get into some detail that you need to spend some time looking at. However, one of the things that I'd like to stress that I call for here is the petition is calling for the elimination of life terms for our Supreme Court judges, as well as all judges that are appointed for life terms.
I don't know if you can hear me clapping. I don't have any fans.
The same term limits as is for Congress, 16 years max.
Yep, definitely.
This is, I think, what's destroying our court system, our judicial system, and it's just abused and abused and abused.
It's all the checks and balances. The checks and balances aren't there anymore because we have a government that, as you stated, we get the government we deserve because we the people have been a bunch of sheeple and standing on the sidelines not doing our job. But the system has been set up in such a way that it lets these people stay there forever, and they're out of control. So we have got to dethrone these people. They all think they're above the law. So, and
one other thing that I point out in here and here again, I'm just giving some blurbs. There's a lot more to it than what I'm mentioning, but the petition is calling for maximum penalties on certain violent crimes, you know, with the stipulation that no judge would be allowed to impose a lesser sentence, because this is being done. I mean, we've got to create maximum, and in some crimes we have to create a penalty certain that cannot be deviated from. And those are first-degree murder, child molestation, violent crimes involving murder of a sexual nature. There are certain violent crimes that the sentences should be cut and dry, and no judge can deviate from them. I mean, our judges are just, I mean, it's like they have the power to do anything they want. And I'm not going to get into that now. I could talk forever on that situation, and I'm sure you can too. But when you get into this particular number six section, reform our court system, I do get into various items. I just mentioned a few of them. But definitely term limits I'm calling for.
Most definitely. So, and after we've gone through the whole list, we'll see whichever topics people want to go back to the most, or whatever time's left over, then we'll come back to it.
Okay. The next item, number seven, revamp the election and voting process. I'm not going to get into talking about that much because there's other items that I want to spend more time on. But get in there, take a look at it. There's a good 7-8 items that are under this section as far as under the election and the voting process. And take a good look at that.
I was going to ask you about that. This goes back to, again, what Charlie and I did with We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. To me, this is one of the most fundamental things here. It's like, if we cannot clean up the corruption at the ballot box, if we cannot elect the people we want because of so much corruption at that ballot box, then we're never going to clean up anything else. It seems to be the most basic that you have to start at this ballot box more than anything else to clean up the corruption. And the other on this one here, the thing you mentioned about corporations and limiting the donations, but we need to get back to the fact that a corporation is not a human, even though the Supreme Court seems to want to say that it's not a human. And I personally believe if you are not eligible to vote, you cannot contribute. Corporations should not be allowed to contribute and buy elections.
Well, what they should do is, remember, corporations are run by people. They have to take a look at who's involved in these corporations.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, the super PACs kind of tie into this piece.
Sure they do.
The super PACs have, in fact, become the front of the corporation. So a corporation can be whatever it is, and it's going to go out there and create a super PAC and fund it through whatever means, and then all they're out there buying the elections.
And it doesn't have to be a U.S. corporation either.
Exactly.
That's another thing.
There should be no foreign. Again, if you're not eligible to vote in this country, you are not eligible to contribute.
I agree. You're right.
Well,
that's good.
Okay. then. So I just want to get that part in there, and we're ready to move on. And again, I know, Charlie, if you're out there thinking about saying anything, you're welcome to chime in on some of these things, because he and I have worked on this stuff, many of these things in the past.
Okay, some of these items coming up are real sensitive to me, and I'm sure they are to everybody else out there. Number 8 is revised government spending, energy, and policies. This is one of the longest legislative demands. It's got probably the most material. And what I'm going to do is just kind of give you an overview. This particular section deals with oil drilling, for an example. Removing these moratoriums, drilling within the boundaries of the USA, turning our country into a self-sustaining country, not having to rely on any foreign lands to be sufficient and self-sufficient. We have all the resources, obviously. I'm not saying anything that nobody doesn't know. We have all the resources right here at home to be able to be a world leader in the sale of energy products. I get into that pretty heavily. But probably, and I also get into renewing talks on the pipeline with Canada, obviously. But one of the things that this addresses is probably the problem that we have and why we're at where we are right now. And I already mentioned this earlier, but it deals with the size of government. It deals with reducing government drastically in size. It talks about reducing, and not reducing, eliminating many of the departments within the government that are not needed. That should be actually those responsibilities of the states rather than the federal government. Until we reduce the size of government drastically, and I mention all of this in here, we are not in any way, shape, or form ever going to get out of the debt that we are in right now. We have over $16 trillion in debt that this country is in. We're not going to be able to solve that problem by cutting spending. There's no way. We have to reduce the size of government so drastically. We have to eliminate many departments, and then we have to streamline many of the departments, like HUD and other departments that will remain. Let me take HUD for an example. You could probably let half of the people go in HUD, take the other half and take half of that, let people go and rehire some good people, and then maybe you'll have something in HUD. But so many of the departments that we do have that will be even left need to be streamlined. I get into that, and I get into that in depth, because there is just, I'm going to say this again, there is no way to cut spending, that we can cut enough spending to be able to solve our problem and our debt and to ever balance a budget. I'm going to give you a quick example of that. And I'm not right on the dollar, okay? I'm rounding out. The cost to run this country, about $300 billion a month. We have $200 billion a month coming in. That means we have to borrow every single month $100 million to stay afloat. In other words, we're accumulating debt at the rate of over $1 trillion a year. There is no way we can humanly cut expenses by that much. I mean, we need certain services. I mean, our country could not run and operate, but it could if this government was reduced drastically and we eliminated many of these departments, brought a lot of the responsibilities back to the states where they belong. That's what the intention was originally. We can't accomplish anything until we reduce the size of government.
And this
I got
thing
an idea.
okay, Charlie, I'll let you go ahead and go because we're probably talking about the same thing.
Okay. My idea that I've often thought about is we take the IRS, and instead of having them audit we the people, we have them audit where the money goes. That would help restore a lot of money, because during Katrina, when FEMA took over, those who were tearing down homes for somebody to bought the property and wanted to build a new house, they were charging anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000. After Katrina, the same people were billing the government $27,000 to $36,000 to do the same job, called greediness. But if we had the IRS auditing who was doing the job and what the charges were before and all that, we would be able to knock down a lot of greediness, which is really costing the taxpayers a lot more money.
Oh, you're right.
Building that post office in Washington or in West or in Virginia, and we aren't even going to own it, but we're going to pay for like $1 billion for this mega post office.
It's ridiculous.
And I understand we aren't even going to own it after we pay for it. This is where the IRS would be better in auditing where the money goes, like send $10 billion over to Africa to study AIDS virus. How much went to the study? And how much
went
into the pockets
of
the corrupt?
The only thing I disagree with you on,
what's
I don't want the IRS around anymore.
I don't either.
They're bad people.
An example to get them all far back.
they're bad people.
I know they are.
Their minds are too corrupt. I'd rather have different people doing the job that you were talking about.
Yeah, but you're getting the idea of what I'm talking about.
Oh, sure.
Instead of having us,
most
things.
I don't disagree with you at all.
We audit where it goes, right.
And this gets back to all the waste that we have. And this particular section, by the way, covers a lot of that as far as you know, the waste and the it just gets into all of that. But the IRS, I think, and I'm sorry if there's any IRS agents out there, and I'm sure if you're listening to this radio show, you're good people. It's just the IRS in general.
IRS agents to submit this idea so that they'll get a feather in their cap at work.
There you go. But I can talk all day long about this section.
But
I want to get on to a couple of others.
Okay, well,
unless there's other questions that you have.
got a couple of things on this one. We're not going to quite go away yet. It's just so everybody is listening. This one's got the Federal Reserve issues in there too. The getting rid of these different departments like Department of Energy, Department of Education. Those are all things EPA, massive departments. Now the
all things that I call for in here. That's why they're going to need to get in there and read all of this.
The Department of Transportation is one that I'll have to talk to you about. That one's another issue with me, and it's a big issue. You can ask anybody who's listening with me and what transportation is, and we can talk about that in a minute. But what I was going to mention earlier, a lot of what you've touched on here is Charlie and I and Terry and another fellow patriot filed a complaint against we went after the two houses of Congress. We went after the Senate with Harry Reid and John Boehner for the House. About them failing to honor the Constitution. They violate the Constitution by not having a budget. This goes into what the court has done. The court doesn't want to do their job to uphold the Constitution. So if you read what we've done on that, and we can talk about that offline at some point, but we did file it. They came back and tried to say it wasn't valid, and we put in a motion for reconsideration. Then they came back with some other garbage, and Charlie has gone and put it back in again. For a second reconsideration. It's the games they play, but they violated the Constitution. So that was what we've been doing. And people need to really be more aggressive in filing the suits. They're, you know, you can't fight City Hall routine, but if enough Americans go out there and put it out there, they're going to start paying attention to it. And let's see, what was the other thing? The other thing, public-private partnerships. I don't know if it would need to be under this heading, this demand here, or under another one, but right now we have a massive collusion of government and the private sector. Transportation was selling off our infrastructure to foreign entities as part of it, but public-private partnerships are another big piece of this problem. They shouldn't be allowed. They should not be allowed to collude, and that's what happens big time here in Florida with transportation. And when it comes to transportation,
for me to add into this bill, Sally.
Yeah, definitely, if you can. And, you know, we can talk offline.
Yeah, if you can prepare something and even get it to me.
Okay, I will definitely do that.
You just hit on something very, very critical.
Yes. It's just outrageous to think that foreign entities are controlling the highway system. And we're paying another tax on top of it for the toll taxes.
Right.
And what I am out there doing, I've been fighting the tolls for a while, and I'm working with some other groups forming more of a national coalition to stop the interstate tolls. the interstate network, that by itself is not strictly a luxury item. It supports our military, which is what the interstate highway was designed to do. President Eisenhower, that was a big part of it. It also, it's emergency services, it's law enforcement, not to mention our economy. It serves many, many purposes when it comes to the interstate highway, the network that we have there. So you can't totally get the feds out of the transportation piece. There are two levels. There should be the federal and the state level, but it's a massive network that is part of, should truly be part of the Commerce Clause kind of thing, because it all participates in that commerce.
That's right.
Across different states.
The states need to be more involved.
Yeah, so we'll talk about transportation on another point, but this one is so loaded with so much stuff, I agree we could talk on this one for the whole show by itself.
What I'm trying to do is rush through some of these items because I know it's taking a long time here. But I'm going to move off of number 8 and move on to number 9, if that's okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay, and I'm not going to get into a lot of discussion on number 9, but number 9 pertains, and the name of it is the composition and the contents of proposed bills. And this petition definitely calls for each piece of legislation and bill to deal with one issue and one issue only. We have so many bills. I mean, we have seen it more this past 4 years than I think we ever have. But so many bills that have so many things in it not even pertaining to what the original bill was all about. I mean, from Obamacare to you name it. And we've got to get this under control. I mean, there's no need for bills being 2,346 pages and in that bill having so many hidden taxes and things that even the legislators don't understand or either do the public understand. So I'm really calling for the tightening of this and to have one bill issues. This particular section gets into the requirement of posting bills for the public a certain amount of days. It requires legislators to have a certain amount of days to read the bill before it comes to a vote. But it also gives the public a certain amount of business days to be able to read the bill and to be able to look it up and have it available to them. It gets into many different items about bills itself. Take the time, go in, read number 9. And look, by the way, anybody who's got suggestions or anything after they, you know, when they read it, please email me. Send me your suggestions. I may not use them, but I'm sure going to look at them.
Okay, and our friend from Texas has put her hand up, and she wants to.
All right.
So let's get the.
I'm waving my hand high.
And okay.
I'm going to take you back to number 8. I'm sorry. I've got a suggestion, an idea, and I'm going to read this bill. You have my wholehearted support on this, and I will be sending it to all 225 people on my mailing list. Now.
All right. And this is who?
This is Mad Granny Taft in Texas.
Okay, Granny. All right. You're the great one. I'm on number 8. What's your...
I'm going back to number 8.
Okay.
You're talking about eliminating agencies and so forth, which I agree with you wholeheartedly needs to be done.
But all right.
We also need a provision put in. A lot of our problem with a lot of these agencies is they do not have enough people on the payroll to provide the services and take care of their jobs and make these agencies work like a well-oiled wheel. They bring people in, they work them at minimum wage or a little bit over or whatever, and they give them a workload that no one could live with.
Okay.
And you cannot, you're a businessman. You cannot run a business without enough people hired on the job to be able to keep the paper flow going.
Now, in all due respect, Granny, okay, and I agree with you, to a point. What's needed is qualified people also.
Well, I agree with that also.
Right. And,
if they have
but
to
yes,
pay
you
more,
have to have enough qualified people to be able to, to do the job and give and perform the service. I agree with you 100%.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Revamp it to where these agencies go out and hire people, not their friends, not their neighbors, not Joe Blow down the street, but hire people using their resumes and so forth, pay them a decent salary, but people that know the job.
Will you do me a favor?
Yes.
Could you?
I'll write it down and send it to you.
And you've, I think you've got my email address.
If not, I know where to find it. I'm looking
okay,
at the
website
now.
If you go into the website, there'll be a section there where it says contact us.
Right.
And if you send that in and just put Granny on there,
okay.
I'll get it. It'll because those come to me. Those emails.
I will do that.
And put all your contact information if you don't mind, because I may call you.
Oh, sure.
And you're from Texas?
Oh, yes, sir.
And by the way, every single state in the union is great, and the petitions have been coming in all over the country, but Texas is number one.
We're so damn hard-headed down here, it's not even funny, and we don't mind letting people know what we think.
No, I'm serious. You folks are on number one on the list with the most petitions that have been filled out.
Well, thank you. You're going to get some more.
I'm counting on you, Granny. I'm also counting on that email.
Well, you will get it. Have no fear, because this is something that has been on my mind. Because I had to go down and get on welfare. And what I saw and the service I saw given and the I don't give a damn attitudes I saw and the people, say, you could tell by looking at their face, they just have more to do than what they can get through.
Yeah, and there again, and I think this is a problem with the government and so many of the departments within the government is qualified people.
This is
a severe problem. I mean, there are so many people that should not be in the positions they're in. They shouldn't have the job. They should be many people should be let go. I mean, we don't know how to run a business when it comes to running a government. Our legislators and our people running our government don't know how to run a business.
Well, they're lawyers, and they're used to having secretaries sitting in their front office that do all the work for them because I used to be a legal secretary.
But I do agree with you that we need to staff properly. Mm-hmm. Yes, staff with qualified people, but you can't have one qualified person doing the job of two qualified people.
That's it.
Right, and I agree with you. Okay,
and you can't have
good.
Five unqualified people trying to do the job of one qualified person because that doesn't cut it either.
You got it. Okay, we're on the same page. I'm
going
to be looking
I'll
for that email.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Ms. Greer, I'm glad you came on the line, by the way.
Thank you.
I'll leave your mic open, and so if you want to chime in from time to time, you're allowed to.
Because yeah, this next one is a very, very, very touchy issue. And that's our military budget. And I really get it. This is one of the ones that have the flag next to it.
No, it doesn't.
One thing that I do not believe in is cutting the military budget. Our national security actually comes before anything. And I call for the increase of our military budget. I call for investing in... putting funds into a quality space defense missile system. We need it. We don't need these bases all around the country. All around the world that we have. We need a certain amount of bases, but we need to start bringing and closing these bases and bringing a lot of our troops home. We don't need to be in places that hate us and want to kill us and are out to kill us. We need to be in strategic places, strategic points. We need to have a certain amount of bases around the country. We need to protect our allies. We need to be with our allies. But if we had a strong, strong homeland security system and defense system, that would take care of a lot of our problems. We need to start bringing our money back here. We need to start bringing our boys and women back here. We need to start strategically doing things effectively with our military. But we definitely need to have a strong, strong military capability. We need to be superior and next to none. because a strong offense is the best defense that we could ever have. And because we are the USA, it's critical that we are superior to anyone and all out there. We can't afford to have Russia do what they've done to us. We can't afford the START Treaty. We can't afford to be pushed around like we have been pushed around. Anyway, I get into a lot of detail on this. I explain the percentages of the increase, where the money would go. I also talk about eliminating a lot of the waste within our military budget. But I definitely do not talk about cutting our military budget. And take the time to read that. If anybody has any suggestions or you disagree with me, let me know.
Okay, there's two quick comments I've got on it. I totally agree. This is a lot like the Ron Paul stuff where we're out there trying to protect the world and we can't even defend our own borders. I mean,
that's exactly right. We can't afford to borrow money to keep protecting everybody.
Exactly.
Continually borrow money.
Yeah, I mean, part of the stuff we think we can buy friends. We're never going to buy the Muslim Islamic nutcases that want to kill us. We're never going to buy their loyalty or their friendship.
When we do that, we show them that we were weak.
Exactly. That we're for sale. That literally we're for sale.
Exactly.
And the other part, this always bugged me after 9/11, which ties into the Patriot Act and all this other fun stuff, Homeland Security. We do not need Homeland Security. We have a Defense Department. That was just another way to create superficial jobs and also to gain more control over us and take away our rights. Homeland Security is one of the biggest farces there is to me.
Heck of a cost center also, isn't it?
And
yeah. Go ahead,
add
Granny.
FEMA to that one, too.
Yes, that was Granny, I think, right? She said add FEMA to that one.
Yeah, why is FEMA part of Homeland Security? That's a whole other...
another...
We don't need Homeland... Yeah, exactly.
But I get really into detail about drones and other things in our military budget. And believe me, I don't want to... I want to give as much to our fighting boys and women that we can give them and that they need. But here again, I believe in defending our borders from within.
Definitely.
But anyway,
and
that's number 10.
Just one
right?
quick thing, too. Going back to the thing about the Russian treaty, to repeal that treaty. Again, at what point, when they're doing some of these things, at what point is it a treasonous act because you're doing so much harm to this country? You're aiding the enemy who doesn't. I don't know. It kind of bugs me on that stuff.
You know what? I go back to that. It was a press conference that Obama had on TV with a Russian representative, and they had the open mic,
right.
And it was by mistake. Remember what was said by Obama to the Russian?
Just wait till after the election.
Yeah. Maybe that'll tie in a little bit to why was the START Treaty ever entered into in the first place? It didn't benefit us. It benefited Russia, though.
Yeah.
And also, yes, there's actually three bills that need to be repealed. And there are two of them I'm going to be getting into. One is the health care reform bill, commonly known as Obamacare. The other one is the financial regulatory reform bill, commonly known as Dodd-Frank, and the START Treaty. Those three are a must to have repealed. If we don't repeal those three bills, we are doomed as a nation. And I'm saying this openly on the radio, we are doomed as a nation if those three are not repealed. And item number 11 has to do with the health care reform bill, commonly known as Obamacare. I'm not going to go into each item on this because this is another flagged item that's very long. A lot of items are involved into item number 11. There's a lot of subsections that you have to go through, but it leads up to the fact that it definitely has to be repealed. And the cost to the American people is just astronomical. I think we all know by now that this bill was prepared and passed with a lot of other intentions behind it other than health care and providing quality health care. That's the last thing it does. But it provides for a lot of other things. It provides for probably more taxes than any one bill that I think we have seen passed in many, many years. The taxes are just astronomical, the hidden taxes. And it's not just an outright income tax. It's so many items that are taxed and are being taxed right now. But you're going to see 2013 and 2014 the real repercussions of Obamacare. It's going to cripple this nation. We're not going to get good health care. We're not going to provide all of these people that have their hands out with the kind of health care that they think they're going to get. But anyway, take a good look at what I say about health care reform. And the next item is one that's very dear to my heart, and that's the Financial Regulatory Reform Bill, commonly known as the Dodd-Frank Bill. This bill was passed in the wee hours of the morning behind closed doors, and it's probably the biggest scam that was ever perpetrated on the American people. This bill literally controls our entire financial system. Literally. From your checking accounts to savings accounts to your IRAs, to everything you can think of is built into this bill. And it's built into this bill in such ambiguous ways that it takes an attorney to really interpret it. It's the most dangerous bill that has ever been passed. A committee, a bureau, spawned out of this bill called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This bureau is operating autonomously, has more authority than any group of people has ever had. Anybody hear of Richard Cordray? He is the head of this committee and this bureau. And this bureau is running rampage on the entire financial industry. It's imposing more regulations than I've ever seen in my lifetime. We're seeing right now small community banks around the country just failing, either merging or just going out of business. Consequently, when you see small community banks going out of business like that, you also see small businesses going out of business. Just look around you. I know there's people out there listening from different states, but look around you. Look at how many community banks have failed. Look at how many small businesses are going out of business. This is the intent of the Obama administration and the people who lead Obama. Obama's a puppet. We all know that. Most of us do anyway. They've captured our financial system. They've captured our health care. They've captured our military. And they're going to do everything they can to destroy the effectiveness of it. They are leading us down the path to not only complete socialism, but leading us down the path of becoming a one-world order and a one-world currency. This is their aim. This bill has done more for them than any other bill, including the health care reform bill. And what's sad is that they knew that the majority of the American people would not understand what this bill is all about, unless you're very embedded into the financial industry, unless you've been through a lot of what has gone on in this country from a financial standpoint. They knew that the American people would not understand what was happening to them. And it's happening, folks. It's happening right now as you and I are talking. This bill is crippling and going to cripple this nation. Coupled with the two other bills that I talked about, the START Treaty and the health care reform bill, we're not going to be the same nation. You know, I say this all the time. Once we lose freedom, once it's gone forever, never to be regained again. And once freedom is lost in this country, it's lost throughout the world. We're the only country that is holding together a semi-free world. And I say semi because we're losing control pretty quickly around the world. This bill is probably my pet peeve, and I don't mean to dwell on it so much, but please take a good look at the contents of number 12 and look at it thoroughly. July 15, 2010 was a very sad day for America. and that was the passage of the Financial Regulatory Reform Bill by the Senate and pushed through by Harry Reid.
Yeah, well, plus Christopher Dodd, he look at all the bennies he got from his, you know, total corruption in every which way. But it plays into the hands of the Federal Reserve and to one worldwide central bank. This is what this is all leading to, which goes into this New World Order, one world government stuff. It's absolutely outrageous. And I do know a little bit about the Dodd-Frank bill. It truly is the demise of our whole economy.
And I've lived it the past 4 years and fought it and fought it and fought it, and I'm still fighting it. And it's just too bad. Anyway, number 13 is one that I think needs to be really read, too. It has to do with the private business sector. And this is another one that, well, they're all important. But this is one that's extremely important to our economy. I talk about a lot of reform in here, and I talk about a lot of tax incentives for corporations. I talk about tax incentives to bring manufacturing back here into this country, which we've destroyed and lost. And that's another thing Obama has been able to do, is to drive corporations and manufacturing out of this country, no matter what he says up there in front of the boob tubes and the American people. He has driven over this past 4 years companies and corporations out of this country. We need to reduce taxes drastically. We need to be competitive with the rest of the world. We need to attract corporations to come back and manufacturing to come back here. What we need to do is we need to bring back the slogan, Made in America. And we can do it through tax incentives. Tax incentives and reduction in taxes creates jobs and creates prosperity, regardless of what we hear on the left. We've been a nation that's been a capitalistic nation. We've survived. We've been successful. This is probably the past 4 years has been an era that we have been probably at least prosperous that I can remember. I wasn't around during the Great Depression, but I think the thing that we have today that we didn't have during the Great Depression is we have more debt in the hands of the American people today than we ever have in the history of our country. At least during the Great Depression, people did not have debt. They didn't have anything else, but they did not have debt. Today it's becoming a situation where American people are losing and losing and losing. They don't have very much, but they sure have a heck of a lot of debt. Anyway, get into that the private sector and see what I propose to improve the economy and bring manufacturing and business back into this country. And also, it covers something that has to do with improving our Social Security budget. And then there's number 14.
Hey.
And that's the end. Well, no, it isn't the end. Actually, number 14 has to do with proposing and establishing the 28th Amendment. And I'll let you all read about that. I'm sure a lot of you know what the 28th Amendment is or heard about it, but take a look at it. And then the last two parts of the petition. One is called the Bold Truth. And this is actually a pretty long outline that I prepared that I lived through. And it has to do with between the years of 1999 and when the crash occurred, 2008, as well as right through today. And things that I lived through that I was involved in with Fannie Mae, Wall Street, things that the Clinton administration did that created the inflationary and economic growth that we experienced between 1999 and 2008. And it gets into also why we had the crash, why the crash occurred, what happened with the housing market, why it occurred, what happened with Wall Street, why it occurred. And then the last item is just a summation of everything that the 14 items and my bold truth covered. And that's an outline of what the petition is all about. And it will take you a good hour to read it all. Probably more, really.
Yeah, And you probably need to read it several times to get all of it in there, because it's just, there's, it's loaded. And like I said, I mean, with some minor little differences here and there, it's I agree with it. And I don't know there's truly anything that I disagree. Like I say, the 16 years, but I kind of understand that. And then some of these other things that probably, you know, the public-private partnership is major, major collusion with the private sector and government. And,
you're going to send me that, am I right?
Oh, yes. Yep, I will send
you
that.
And Granny's going to send me hers as well.
Well, I'm sure she is. Well, Granny's still out there. So I hear her background sound effects from time to time.
So I'm open for questions right now, Sally.
Okay.
Well, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, there's a 27th Amendment sitting out there that was never ratified, but it's
yeah.
used.
But I still have to push the 28th Amendment because that's what everybody's talking about.
Why can't we get rid of the 27th in this proposal of yours?
That's pretty good. I should really talk about ratifying the 27th. And in fact,
I don't think we really want the 27th. From what
no,
I
we, I'm not, maybe I shouldn't then put anything in there about the 27th.
Let's get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, in a sense, we don't have it.
That's true, but they're still trying to use it.
Yeah, they're trying to use a lot of things that they don't know what they're doing.
Seventh
anyway.
Amendment. Well, it might be in the 27th Amendment, but the 27th Amendment was never ratified. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's in it or not.
Think about what, how I can work that in. Who am I speaking to, by the way?
This is Granny again.
Oh, it's Granny. Oh, hi. How are you? Hey, you. think about that one. You and I are going to be talking for a while.
Yeah, I think we will be.
That'll be my pleasure all the way.
Well, mine too, because you've just made my heart go pitter-patter tonight.
Well, I appreciate that. And usually I don't come across that well in verbal discussions as well as I do in writing it out.
But
thank you very much for that.
You have touched on everything that people are talking about. People want to see changed, everything that needs to be done. We just got to tweak a little bit of it.
You know, the sad part is I have a lot of confidence, don't get me wrong, in the American people.
But
I served my country. I fought for my country. I'm a veteran. I love my country. But I'm scared to death for my country right now. And I don't, sometimes I wake up and I don't know if there's enough American people left like us.
I know exactly
that can do
what
the job.
I know exactly what you're saying, because I've been fighting here in my little town for over a year now, and I have yet to find one person that has enough Texas in their blood to stand up with me and fight.
That's sad.
Oh, yes, it's sad. But what keeps us going is the fact that you and I and Sally and Charlie and the other people who are listening out there, we do care. And we are the ones that are going to move. You may not know we moved, but we will do something. We will act, and that's what it takes.
That was very well said, Granny.
And
I admire you, and I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you, but it's taken people like Sally and Charlie and my Tea Party friends and everything to keep me going a lot of times. So I understand exactly where you're coming from. And
I get discouraged, too, and I need people like you, and we need each other.
That's it, because if you're looking for your next-door neighbor to be there, forget it.
Right. I mean, you got to rely more and more on, obviously, we probably casted God out of our lives enough here in America. We definitely need to start bringing him back a lot more. He's probably our only salvation right now.
Well,
I don't want to get on the religious bit, but you know what I mean.
The fact that we have detached ourselves from God is definitely a big part of this. But we do have another person from Texas who wants to chime in the last four digits, 2148. You are on the air. Can we get your name, please?
Hi, Sally. This is Nancy Battle. Hi, John.
Hey,
hey
Nancy.
Nancy. How are you? Nancy's a friend.
I'm fine.
She's a good Texas
and I wrote
friend.
You a
oh,
little
yeah.
note
How
tonight
you, Nancy?
And sent it to you via email. You know, something that's always bugged me, and I know you're not the president, but I wonder what is going to be or could be done about this drug business. They've made such a profit and have our soldiers guarding the poppy fields, you know, in Afghanistan. And I know that they've been down in South and Central America and they've been protected. And it galls me to death, this drug war, that has never been a war. I mean, it's a circus.
You're saying what we can do here about our drug problem?
What could... I just wonder how that will ever be solved at all, if at all. Will it never be solved?
Well, we're one of the largest, we're one of the largest users of drugs in the world.
Right.
And maybe if you get government out of the drug business, maybe we could solve the problem.
Right. I think a lawsuit against Congress would be the appropriate way because they failed to close the border. And also, nobody's ever gone after them for the Ramos and Compeon case where they were put in prison for going after a drug dealer.
Right.
That's right.
It seems to me like that really points the evidence at Congress for failing to get them out of prison in a heartbeat because they were actually doing their job of apprehending drug dealers. But they go to prison, and the drug dealer goes free.
Right.
But see, Congress won't do it, so we the people have to do it, but it's a matter of getting off our butts and filing cases against Johnny Sutton and the judge who are not above the law. And then why is it that only of 535 members of Congress at the time, only about 171 of them signed a petition to release the border guards? That's because the other 350 are getting kickbacks from the drug cartel? That's what I suspect.
That's
oh, yeah.
why I say get government out of it. There's another thing that's kind of sad, too, when you look at what we've kind of evolved into is kids. You know, kids are using drugs at a younger age than they ever have. I blame a lot of this on the parents. I blame a lot of it on loose parenthood. And you know, somebody's got to be buying these drugs. Somebody's got to be using them also.
Right.
It's not only the supplier. And when you see and look at so many of our young people using so much of it and starting out at such early ages, you've got to look at our school systems and you've got to look at the parents. I mean, they're a big cause of this as well. I mean, maybe we have to attack certain things right here at home, you know, in our social lives, beside doing what you're talking about.
How about it comes down to entitlement? They go ahead and they make them all drug addicted? They're entitled to being protected. Go ahead.
We're getting down to 3 minutes, so before we finish up here,
John, just want to wrap it up, John.
Give your website real quick again, and
okay, I will. And Nancy, I didn't know if I answered your question, but boy, thanks for coming on the line.
No,
I can give that website. It is
John. We're going to win this. I've never had such a positive attitude as I have now. I think we're going to defeat him, and I think we're going to prosecute him.
We have to. This is Nancy's talking, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you've always had a positive attitude. and that website, I know Sally is pushing me here, and I know when I get talking, the website is www.usa-god, and that's God A-N-D, by the way. God and country petition.com. There, okay. www.usagodandcountry-petition.com.
Send it out again, John, so I can forward it on.
Okay. It is, the website is www.
No, no, no. I mean, send it to me via email.
Oh,
so
okay. I'm sorry. Is this
Nancy.
Sally?
Nancy.
That's Nancy.
Oh, Nancy?
Yes. Send it to me via email, and I'll forward it out to all my contacts.
Okay. I will. And I know your email address, obviously.
Explain to them that their signature is mandated by me.
All right. I will. I'll just send you the website. How's that?
Yeah, and I'll forward it on, John.
Well, I really appreciate it. And Granny and Nancy and obviously Charlie and Sally, you're a doll. I appreciate you having me on the show. I probably talked everybody to death.
Now, this was great. This has been a great conversation. When you send out the email, make sure you send out the link to the show so that people can come here and listen to you go through the different pieces of it.
Yes,
ma'am. They can listen to it through the archives, so make sure they listen to it
okay.
here.
Okay. So, Nancy, do you know the link? Well, I'll send you the link to the show.
Sure, and that would be great. And I'll have everybody read it. This is extremely important, and it's giving us solutions, John.
Well, I appreciate
John,
that.
John, call in Thursday, too.
On Thursday?
Call in Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Because you can add in a lot of extra stuff to what you may not have been able to cover today. When you start thinking about it, I know you're going to come up with, why didn't I say this, why didn't I say that? So give us a call Thursday.
He means Monday.
I mean Monday, yeah, Monday.
Oh, okay, this Monday night?
That's right, today's Thursday.
It's coming
Monday
night.
Yeah.
Same time, 7:30?
Yep, 7:32. Yeah. 7:30.
All right.
Yeah, the show starts at 7. The show starts at 7. We do just a quick overview of what's going on, some topics the first 30 minutes. Just like today, we kind of wrapped it up early. But if you want to call in a little bit sooner and do some follow-up and carry on the conversation, we can do that, too. That's,
you think you can handle me?
Yes,
hey, look, I want to thank your audience, too. And thanks a million for the questions. And hopefully a lot of you listened. And hopefully you're going to be going to the website. And we got a whole bunch of petitions come rolling in. But
thank
I do
you.
Appreciate everybody, and God bless you all.
God bless America.
God bless America.
God bless
troops. Thank
Good night.
Yes, very much so. That'll be something I'll maybe mention Monday night. We've adopted a battalion in Afghanistan. I'll tell you about it.
That would be great. We look forward to it. Now, technically, we are off the air now, so this last minute, they're not going to hear it, but that's okay. We can continue this discussion on Monday.
Is Nancy still on and Granny?
Yes,
oh,
I am.
Oh, okay.
They're here. Nobody else out there in the internet world can hear us right now, but we're all talking amongst ourselves.
All right, great.
I have a solution for the drug problem, Nancy.
Okay.
This is Doreen, by the way.
I know who it is.
Okay. We can pull our troops out of those countries where we are guarding the drug fields and then send planes with Agent Orange over as the pickers and the planters are working. Well, yes, why not? They did it to our troops in Vietnam.
We have drones now, though.
We'll send the drones over as
Agent Orange. You're right. That's a very, very difficult problem to solve.
Well, George Bush certainly did profit from it. The way it is.
And George Bush is from Texas.
No, he's
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
No. He's a transplant.
Oh, he is?
He was born up north, and they moved down here.
Yes, ma'am.
And we accepted him, but guess what? He's unacceptable anymore.
I understand Florida was an adopted baby
Bush.
From Germany, and his name was not Bush.
Yep.
It was Scher. Did you know that?
Did you ever see the one
time?
About comes out and talks all about this individual and the life that this individual has led and gets to the end, and it's it asks, who is this? And you'd obviously say Obama, but it's really Hitler.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's something. This has been great, Sally, and
I
can
have
see
a
why.
Lot.
I'm sure you have a good audience out there, a big one.
It is growing. We are getting. It's just amazing how much it has grown in the last 6 to 8 months. Where people are really getting engaged, and they understand that we are here to talk about doing something. That's what the American Statesman. It's if you read the homepage, what's the difference between a politician and a statesman?
Yes.
You know, the politician works for the election, the statesman works for the next generation.
That's right.
And we've been invaded by the politicians. It's, forget out.
There's no doubt about that. There is you know, no doubt about that. Do you know Nancy Battle, by the way?
Oh, yes. We all communicate. I think everybody on here is on the same email.
Oh, okay. All right.
We share a lot of information.
Okay. I was going to introduce you to Nancy.
No. We're
Nancy,
all agenda.
I live 100 miles apart from each other.
Oh, heck. Okay. Well, actually, I think Nancy, Susan got me started with Sally, Susan Short. I didn't hear Susan tonight.
I don't know Susan.
You don't?
Oh, she's up in Chicago. Susie.
Yeah, Susan Short?
Yeah.
I was thinking
now, Nancy, you know Susan, right?
Yes. Yeah, she's on my contact list.
Yeah. And she's the one, actually, that contacted you, Sally.
List, but
right.
I know that I have a quota now with Google.
Now, I got to make sure I write all these things down. Okay, now, I know you're sending me something, Sally, and I know Granny is. I need to send Nancy the both links on my on the God and Country website, as well as the link to the radio.
That's right. Let them listen to it through the archive, and because we
just
covered all
the normal link that goes right to the radio station, Sally.
Well, typically the link that I sent to you that you could use to promote the show. It, in the link itself, you'll see it says USA God and Country. So if you send that link to them, it'll take them right to this show. Instead of going to the main homepage of the show, it'll take them to this episode.
All right, let's make sure that I have the right one.
Yeah, and I can read
Sally.
And you need flag by number 10.
I know I got it somewhere. I got a lot of things here on. I knew I just want to make sure before I hang up on you, Sally. Okay. Link to the show.
Okay.
There it is. It's is that www.block or blog. talkradio.com, American Statesman, 2012/11/1, John Smaldone, hyphen, with USA, God, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
That one will take them to this episode, and they can play it right away. If they do blogtalkradio.com/American Statesman, that takes them to the homepage, and they can see the list of the archives. So either way works. Just if you put your...
Fantastic.
Takes them right to
and,
it.
And then Monday night at, Charlie said, what time, 7:30, just pop in?
Yeah, you know, well, like I say, the first 15 to 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
I won't talk,
talk
as much, Monday.
Better.
Today I was on the podium, so, you know, I had to, you know.
Well, we may have some more questions for you by then, or we can go into some of these specifics that people want to talk about or something like that, too.
That'll be fantastic. In fact, if you want, you know, I'll make sure that I am on then Monday night, and maybe you can put out something to, you know, if people want to ask questions, that I'll be on with you Monday night.
Yeah, I can do that. I can send something out as a follow-up to continue the discussion. And
then I know Nancy will, and I know she'll get a hold of Susan.
Yes.
I'm putting a plug in.
John, have you ever spoken on RBN, any RBN stations at all?
Yes, I have. In fact, one in Texas.
Which one would that be?
With Mel Moss and Rick Rose.
No. Maggie Rodden, Daryl Weeks, Darren Weeks.
No. Well, yeah, they're on there now. That's right. It's the same one.
Who?
But let me... it's Lone Star Tea Party. Blog Talk Radio.
No, I don't know that one. I'm not a Tea Partier that in that sense. I'm a
okay. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a Lone Star Tea Party Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
Now that one I've been on fairly regular. I was pretty much a regular past few weeks, 3-4 weeks, I haven't been on there as much.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I got more activity out of yours.
I can recommend other stations too. Sally's fantastic, and Charlie, I enjoy him so much.
I can see why.
The more we get this out on your petition, the more people are certainly going to learn about it.
What's been difficult is the fact that it's, you know, I'm not out there getting donations and you know, spreading it out there with news ads and all of that. I'm doing it strictly by people like you spreading the word around. It's word of mouth and spreading the word internet-wise.
I think because you don't ask for donations, that's a plus.
I thought so.
Yes, it is.
But, you know, it's hard to get people to work.
I agree with what you said earlier. Sometimes it's just ask for some money.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's...
throw some money and then...
I can't believe how hard this has been, actually. I mean, there's always, you know, the people like yourselves and Nancy and Susan. There's a lot of good people out there, don't get me wrong, and they do all they can. And but there are so many people that just, it's like pulling teeth to get them off of the couch.
Oh, well, let's form a God's army.
Yeah, there we go. That had to be Granny. Is your real name Doreen?
No, my name is Doreen. That was Sal. Nancy. Nancy's on the speakerphone.
Oh, okay. Now, who's Doreen? Doreen is not Granny.
I'm Granny.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But Doreen is who?
The same person.
Same person. My mother-in-law's name is Doreen.
She's
oh,
related.
My God.
Don't find too many. Who's on first?
You know, come back.
Granny is the yeehaw.
Yeah, I'm the yeehaw.
Ah, okay. All right. Okay, well, who's on second then?
hard to get people to work. Let me tell you a good one.
Okay.
I have a little silver Kia. On the front of my hood is a big red and white Impeach Obama sticker. Trunk of my car is a big red and white Impeach Obama sticker and one that says, God save us from Obamacare. I like your bumper sticker. Oh, I love your bumper sticker. Gonna vote for Obama, are you? And I stand and talk to these people, and then I say, do you want one? I have extra. Do you know I've yet to find one person that would take one?
Really?
They had to put them on their car.
They will not put one on their vehicle. Not necessarily because they don't want to mess up their vehicle, but I get, I'm afraid they'll mess up my car. I said, you got insurance? Oh, I've got insurance. That's why they're on my car.
And
just so you know,
John, I had a situation when I was up in Maryland, Gaithersburg. This is when Arizona was first getting the law passed and the immigration thing, and I had used window chalk on my vehicle, which I have messages on my vehicle windows all the time, support the Constitution, support Arizona, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And windshields all got smashed in. The only ones that didn't get smashed in were the side, the driver and passenger window, and Gaithersburg police wouldn't do anything about it. In fact, they left the hammer next to it.
Oh, jeez.
They would not do a thing about it. And that's why, this is where we get into this conversation where the culture, the American culture and spirit, so much of it has died. Thank goodness there was only a few people that made the revolution happen, and that's what it's going to be, you know, thank God, that it only takes a few of us to really make a difference. But so
and you're
many
right.
People are
you know,
so
I got
to
keep reminding myself of that.
You know, it's it troubles me that Americans have become so scared. And
right.
You know, we're fighting for our life here. We're fighting for our country.
Well, when you think about it, this is what happened in Europe. And, you know, think of Germany, Hitler. Becoming so scared.
They're counting
it's happened in all these countries.
Right.
That was the whole purpose of politically correct.
Yep.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's when the indoctrination started.
I mean, we haven't been a scared people, not like we are now.
I'm not.
Okay.
No,
all right.
Here.
I'm not a scared. I'm fearful of, you know, what the future may bring.
What
I used to have a crystal ball,
John?
And I broke it.
See, but if you were scared, you wouldn't be writing this petition.
Well, that's true. I sent out something. Well, I put this out, and some of you, like Nancy, you saw it, that email on my thoughts about Obama and the One World Order and all that.
Well, yeah, and I don't hold back either, John.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody on this call holds back. We all believe live free or die routine, and we're going to take it to the limit. We're not going to be the ones sitting on the sideline or watching a silly Super Bowl football game while our country's collapsing.
That's right.
You know,
who said that, Sally?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cause I couldn't hardly hear you there for a minute.
Oh, no, it's me and this crazy headset I got on.
Oh, there, now I hear you.
Yep. If I almost eat the mic, I'm okay.
Is Charlie there?
But Charlie has dropped off. He's not out there now. And we're gonna have to wrap it up here in just a couple of minutes. But yeah, I mean, there's many of us that are gonna fight to the end. We're not gonna give up. But it truly goes back to what Jefferson said. You know, when people fear the government, there's tyranny. When the government fears the people, there's liberty. We've got to turn it around. We've got to make this government fear us. We're the people. We're the ones that own this country, not them. So,
I sure want to thank you and Charlie, and I want to thank everybody, and obviously you, Granny, and Nancy. Good to talk to you.
We're going
to
win.
Dan.
We're going to win.
We are.
Atta girl. We are, aren't we, Sally?
I have a good feeling about it. Really do.
We're going to keep
the momentum is getting there. The fact that we've actually got people saying out loud impeach Obama, even though we still don't have the morons in the two houses of Congress doing a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah.
But the pressure is getting there. And I'm telling you, I'll put it out there. I said it earlier when we were still on the air, and I'll say it again. If Obama gets in there again, it's going to take – we're going to have to rally the troops, and we're going to have to march on D.C. We're not talking about going up there shooting up people and killing people. We are going to invade Washington, D.C., and we're going to say, every one of you are out of here. We're taking over this country. We're taking over this government because you people can't do it, and you're traitors. And after everything I saw, I was there for 9/12, and I was there for the Glenn Beck Restore Honor event.
Oh, you
were?
Oh, that was good times to be there.
It was great, and Charlie was there. Charlie and I both attended both of those, and I'm telling you, you know, we can get twice that many people there. They won't have a choice. They won't. And people are getting so pissed off. Look at the SEALs being, you know, the Navy SEALs are going after them too. And
what about
the
farmers too with their tractors, the truckers? You know, all of them. They can stop that. They can stop Washington dead still.
That's it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to shut down Washington, D.C. We're going to say, we've had enough. You're all going home. We're taking over this town.
Right, because they've forgotten that there are employees.
That's right.
You know, I always have said, you know, we have got close to 25,000 members on our email list. If I could just get all of those 25,000 people, homogenize them into one unit that would... Every time we want a letter sent to every one of our congressmen and senators, press a button, and 25,000 letters goes out to every single one of them, or emails. Can you imagine, and then phone calls, could you imagine how we would tie up entire Congress and our government with
Congress
just phone calls? What's that?
Congress.org. You write to your federal officials, and you put whatever you want to say in the body and just press submit, because all of the names and the email and the phone number is filled out. And I have it in my favorites, and that's how I write Congress every day.
Well, just think of 25,000 of those went out every time we wanted to fight
something. That's what I've been telling everybody. Do it daily. And so I when I get this back from Congress that they've sent me a copy of what I've written, I send it out on my contact list, hoping that other people will follow suit. You know, I don't know what else I can do except go and do it for them. But we're going to win this. I just have a great feeling that this country now is realizing how close we have gotten to the cliff, and we're about to lose it. And I think we've got a lot more support out there than you figure. I think Romney's got 56 and Obama's got 45 or something like that. If we can keep the voting machines honest, I think we're going to do this.
And keep the pressure on for the next 5 days.
Oh, and after.
Big time.
Oh, and after.
And after, I was going to say, the thing is, people better not go and relax. If Romney gets in there, they better not relax, because he has got a lot of baggage on him, too. He may not be as bad, the lesser of the two evils routine, but Romney is a lot of things I don't like either. So these people better not say,
Karen Brackett,
we're safe now, because that's not the case.
Oh, no. I mean, not at all. I mean, in fact, if anything, we have to have more checks and balances on the Republican Party and our candidates than we ever have.
Well, I was going to say, after a dose of Obama, we better have learned we do not dare relax anymore.
Oh.
Period.
Karen Brackett.
I hope we've learned a lesson.
She's planning to rent an apartment in Washington with a leader, a Tea Party leader, and make sure if Romney wins that he gets the Obamacare repealed like he's promised. She said we're going to go and see him every day.
He's also agreed to fight to get the financial regulatory reform bill repealed as well. It's very high on his priority list, supposedly.
I think he tends to be more likely to do the Dodd-Frank thing, you know, more than he is the Obamacare, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think the Obamacare thing, if he gets in there, and also, obviously, it depends on who we have in the two houses. If we still have that crazy Senate like we have now, not much will happen. But they can still derail it and freeze it, defund it for now. But if Romney doesn't do that, all bets are off. And I'm telling you right now, for everybody out there listening, I am very concerned by what I've seen by the idiot Republicans in the House of Representatives since 2010,
and then
seeing, knowing the Romney care routine, too. I don't have a very good sense that it's going to get repealed. But if it doesn't, I think hell is going to break loose.
I do. But I really agree with you about he's got more sensitivity to the Dodd-Frank bill, and that's because he understands it from a business man's point of view because of his background. But I think the Obamacare has got much more public sentiment and pressure that's going to be imposed upon him.
Well,
so
I think
both of them are going to be a priority to repeal. One may be because of his desire and his understanding of the danger of that financial regulatory reform bill, and the other one is the people themselves that are applying the pressure to repeal Obamacare. I hope that happens.
Well, if he knows anything about our government, he will know that bill is not a legitimate bill or law in the first place, because the Senate does not have the power to impose taxes on the people.
That's right.
And the Congress never passed that. The Senate passed it, but it never passed the Congress.
You're very attuned to these things, aren't you?
Well, been at it for a while, and Sally and Nancy have educated me.
I've got a group of volunteers here that I'm talking to that are going to make this petition a bill.
Hey, we're mad. And we're not going to take it anymore. We are pissed off.
All
we're
right.
Up. We are yes.
I got
our Arnie Rosner.
Oh, we got to get Arnie involved in this. Arnie and
Arnie. Okay.
Well, he's on all of our email lists, so he'll
about 1,000 on his list. John,
yeah,
you need
so Arnie's,
to.
He's on our email list. I get 10 or 12 emails a day from him.
You have his phone number because he likes to talk.
Oh, does he?
Oh yeah, he's available 24/7. He made me Field Marshal Battle, and I call him General.
I'll be darned.
And he says he makes the tinfoil hats. And if anybody wants it, he's going to have to get you measured so he'll know the size.
And you know Arnie pretty good?
Yes.
His area code's 301, right?
Who, Arnie?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I thought he had tried to call in earlier, but we were just getting started, and then it looked like he had to drop off. So I was thinking that Arnie had called in earlier, but I'm not sure.
I think Arnie will get this petition up and running.
I was going to ask you if you can get a hold of Arnie and have him help.
Arnie's number is 714.
No, not 301.
No, 714-964-4056.
And that's all you need to do to get your $50,000.
And John Mahler is another really good fighting Texan.
Yeah, Arnie's, that's his Texas number. He's in Texas too, isn't he?
Who?
Arnie,
no, he's California.
California.
714 is California. Huh.
713 is Texas.
Okay. Anybody know Rick Rose?
I don't.
Okay.
What's Bruce's last name? Arizona Sentinel.
Olsen. Olsen. Bruce Olsen.
Yep. He's another one.
Yeah, he's a real good one. You want his phone number?
What is he?
He has the Arizona Sentinel website. He lives out in kind of in the mountains in Arizona.
Isn't he the one that helps people? No, that's Dewhurst. No, it's not Dewhurst.
We've had him on the show, a big patriot fighter.
Yeah, he fights Agenda 21.
Private property.
His name is Bruce. Bruce what?
O L S E N.
Oh, Olsen. Oh.
And it's 924-240-0474.
Yeah, he's big on the immigration issue, and he's like the Minuteman of Arizona kind of thing.
And right. a huge fighter in Florida, Sally. I'm sure you know Victoria Bear.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, John, she's a good one.
Victoria Bear.
All these big names.
Me?
Yeah, I can forward that to you. I can forward her info to you.
Okay. And I'm just writing some things down. I don't write them down. I forget them. But I'm down on your radio show. At 7, between around 7, 7:30, I'll call in. And if you want people to ask me questions, throw them out there. Well, not the people. Throw out the message.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
How do you like that? Boy, I'm not being forward, am I?
What state are you in, John?
Quit being
politically correct.
I
live in Tennessee. Been here for 23 years. Came up from Florida. Lived there for about 24 years.
John.
Yes.
Quit being politically correct. It's not in style anymore.
Oh, okay.
A son of a gun for a governor.
Let me see. I'm trying to figure out the politically correct thing.
That was Granny.
I know. What did I... Where was I politically
correct? I don't know what
correct?
She was referring to either.
He was being so polite and nice and not trying to say something that was non-politically correct.
That's not allowed.
Oh, okay.
Out here, John.
Yeah, I'm here nestled into the Smoky Mountain, or in the valley anyway, near Knoxville.
Ah. Yeah, well, you got quite a governor running that state.
You mean Mr. Haslam?
Yeah, who'd love to see Agenda 21 just take over that state.
Well, our lieutenant governor should have been governor.
Karen Bracken is going to fight him tooth and nail. So,
fighting
I hope
who? Haslam or Ron Ramsey? Now, Karen Bracken, that's where I've heard her name. I know her.
Yeah, boy. She's a big fighter.
She was I think she was in the audience tonight.
She called last night, and that was my mistake because we forgot what day it was, and I gave her the number. And she called, she said, Nancy, the show isn't on. And I said, what day is it today?
Did you straighten her out?
Yeah, and I said, oh, my God, that's tomorrow night. She said, okay, I'll put that down. So, yeah, she might have been listening. But she,
I just got something from Sally, and it says, do not sign the God and Country petition while you're at the polls.
That's from Victoria Bear sent that out to everybody. So I was giving you, that's a sample of Victoria Bear's information. That's what she, that's the type of thing she sends out. But also you'll see all her contact on there.
Okay, I just saw the title. I didn't open it yet. And,
and I'll send you a list of these people.
Okay, that's a deal.
Their emails and their phone numbers.
And I'm going to say goodnight because I'm going to go spread the word with the Tea Party Radio.
All right. And I'll tell you, I enjoyed this tremendously tonight. You're a bunch of great, great people. And Sally, thanks again. And Nancy, I'll be communicating with you. That's for sure. I'll be communicating with all of you.
Sure, absolutely. Anytime,
and I'll be talking
John.
To you. I'll be on Monday night.
Okay.
The Pain
we'll
Small Dome will be on.
All right, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Right. Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you guys later. Good night.
Thanks.
I don't think anything is still recording, but if it is, well, thank you for tuning in. And as always, may God bless and protect the USA. Good night.